That's music by Robbie Burns, A Fond Kiss, with Bryn Terfel and the London Symphony Orchestra. You're listening to Destination Classics here at the New Classical FM. I'm Mike Duncan. Joining me in the studio is Vivian Vassos, the executive editor and travel specialist of Zoomer Magazine. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Mike.
It's Victoria Day weekend, and I am told that you have quite a bit of knowledge of all things Victoria.
Well, a little bit of that and a little bit of England, but Victoria and what she brought to England is still in play today. All wonderful cultural bits, especially things like afternoon tea. She lived at Kensington Palace, which is where Harry and Meghan were engaged and announced their engagement.
I didn't realize that there no such thing as high tea before Victoria?
There was. It was a tradition that was brought by Catherine de Braganza. About 200 years before, but it came back into play when Victoria was at Kensington Palace and her ladies became a little bit peckish before the 8 p.m. dinner bell. So it came back into fashion, and afternoon tea, high tea, royal tea, all of those things are big everywhere around the world, and especially in the Commonwealth. And
so it caught on, like all the people went, hey, if she's doing it, we should all
be doing
right.
it. If it's fit for a queen, if it's good enough for Victoria, it's good enough for us.
What makes a high tea or a royal high tea,
well,
I should ask?
Royal high tea is usually served later in the day.
Okay.
And it usually comes with champagne or another little tipple of cocktail.
Huh?
That's what makes it a little more royal. Afternoon tea, though, is the typical tea that most of us enjoy. The sandwiches with the crusts cut off, the scones, of course, the classic scones. And in our new royal baby issue, our special issue that's going to be out on the newsstands.
Right now in the GTA.
During Victoria Day week for her birthday and for the royal baby, of course. We have a whole section in the magazine on how to throw your very own afternoon tea with expert tips, insider recipes from chefs that also sometimes feed the royal family. So it's really worth picking up.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And this is all before social media, you say?
Yes, exactly. Although, as we know, Meghan and Harry are quite active on social media.
They sure are.
And, you know, we did happen to catch her avocado toast on social media, Meghan's avocado toast, and we have recipes for chic avocado toast as well.
Ooh, I like that. Well, you know, speaking of Kensington Palace and high tea and such, like, I mean, this has been a big week in terms of royals.
Week.
I mean, with the baby boy being born and the naming the other day, Archie. What do you think of the name?
Well, it at first it's a little bit what, but at the same time, I think Archie. It is a traditional Scottish name. It's a traditional name in the Spencer family, Diana's family. So there's a little bit of a nod to that, and also Harrison, his middle name or second given name, is quite lovely because it means Harry's son, Harrison.
Oh yeah, of course.
So it's quite lovely. So it's a nod to Diana. It's a nod to Harry, and then of course Mountbatten Windsor.
Now, do you think? I mean, are they going to be, you know, formal Prince Archibald or do you just Prince Archie?
Well, the word's still out on that. I think it'll be less formal as some of the other royals have.
That seems to
lady,
be the, like, yeah.
Master, yes.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So, and this is the 200th anniversary as well of Queen Victoria.
It is the 200th anniversary of Queen Victoria. And at Kensington Palace, there's a fantastic exhibit. Kensington Palace, by the way, is in London, England. There's a fantastic exhibit, Victoria Revealed, and it is a real glimpse into her life as a young woman. I mean, she ascended to the throne at 18.
Well, it's, everyone remembers her as this older woman,
exactly.
right? But she came in young.
But she really did come in young. And again, very similar to Elizabeth, our current monarch, where it was just sort of a perfect storm of relatives who just either passed or couldn't take on the position, and suddenly they're in the role. So Kensington Palace, the thing about Victoria as well is she was a great fan of traveling around England, as we are, and the UK. She loved Scotland, and we know in the north of Scotland in particular, Balmoral and Holyrood House, where, by the way, there's also an exhibit this summer of Harry and Meghan's wedding attire. So if you wanted to see Meghan's dress up close, if you're at Holyrood House in Edinburgh in Scotland, that's where to find it. But Queen Victoria loved the Isle of Wight as well, and Osborne House. And I think if anyone's seen the film Victoria and Abdul, they'll know that story. And all of that, the architecture there and the art and still exists. So you can actually visit the Isle of Wight and visit Osborne House, do the Victoria Trail, and see this incredible house where she lived the last days of her life. And so it's a wonderful sort of ode to her. But so Kensington Palace in London, Isle of Wight in the south of London, And, and just a little note on that, too. Speaking of sort of the southeast of England, mm-hmm. Sussex, in case anybody wanted to know about Sussex, right. If you know about Brighton, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of people know about Brighton, it's sort of famous in that.
Seaside, summer entertainment.
Yeah, play. White Cliffs, yeah. Entertainment, even a little bit of the punks and the mods, you know,
Graham
if you
Green,
go back. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's in Sussex. So it's an interesting place to travel around as well. So the Duke and Duchess are bringing a spotlight to a part of England that has nostalgia, but also is interesting to check out now.
That's part one of my interview with Vivian Vazos, the executive editor and travel specialist at Zoomer Magazine. I'll have part two of that interview the next hour. And don't forget, pick up the brand new issue of Zoomer Magazine. Over 130 pages of Baby Joy. This beautiful edition of Zoomer is on newsstands now.